Hello, we are the Reed family serving in Thailand. My name is Chris, my wife Becca, and our children Ethan, Selah, Ryder, and Asher. For the past 6 years, we have been serving in Northern Thailand. Our first 3 years were spent at the Nong Lom Baptist Church and Training Center. We had the opportunity to teach, preach, and disciple new believers while learning the Thai language. One of the many exciting things we had the privilege to help in was starting a church outside the city of Udon Thani. In 2019, we were able to help Pastor Gowit and his family move to Udon Thani and supported them as they began the Nong Bur Baptist Church. It is exciting to see how the Lord has blessed this new church, and we are excited for what the Lord has in store for their future. Please continue to pray for that work. 3 years ago, the Lord led us to team up with the Balu family who were planting a church in Lamphun, Thailand. The Balu started Selah Baptist Church in their home a few years prior to us teaming up. In the last 3 years, we have seen the Lord bless and the church has doubled in attendance. In November of 2021, we had the privilege to be a part of the church's charter service. We have been able to be involved in preaching, teaching, discipleship, and children's ministry. We are excited about the spiritual growth taking place in the lives of our church members. We are also excited to continue developing a discipleship program as we are seeing new people begin their walk with the Lord. We would ask you to pray with us regarding our vision and goals for the coming years. First, we are quickly running out of space in our current building. We are praying that over the next couple years, the Lord would open a door for Selah Baptist Church to purchase land and build a building, or to purchase an existing building big enough for us to grow and advance the gospel here in Southeast Asia. Pray for our team as we continue to seek ways of effectively witnessing and sharing the gospel and reaching into our community. We are also involved in training, equipping, and sending Thai nationals to establish local churches in other areas of Thailand. Next year, we are praying for a family who is planning on doing just that, moving to another city and beginning a local church. We are excited to help them, and I know you will also be excited to be involved in this new work. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your missions team. We are grateful for your prayers and support for our family and ministry in Thailand.
Well, good evening. So good to be here with you this evening and give you a little bit of a report. Just want to thank you for just being a part, allowing us to be a part of your team, really, and praying for us and supporting us over these years. I really am excited about, just appreciate this church and their love for missions. All the different notes that we get from the kids and on birthdays, Christmas, and those things, our kids love to read those notes. And, you know, we have quite a few supporters around the country, but we only hear from really a couple. And your church is always one of those that always reaches out, always shares what you're thinking about and praying for us. And we just are so appreciative, especially on the Christmas time when you guys, send that little extra that we can spoil our kids with. And Pastor always says, make sure you use this for your family and do something. And so one year we were able to get them some bikes, and they were really having fun with Nerf guns this last year. We got them some Nerf guns, and I even got myself a golf club. So, you know, it's just fun to be able to just have a little extra and be able to spoil the kids. But thank you so much for your prayers and your support. In Thailand, it's a country of over 90% Buddhist and very, very few Christians, you know. And so for Thai people, they see Buddhist, to be Thai is to be a Buddhist. And if they were to become a Christian, they feel like they're almost not even be able to be Thai any longer. And we're trying to really show them how they can just have that relationship with God through Christ. It's not about a religion, and it's about a relationship that they can have. And it's amazing to see how when God is working in their heart and they begin to have that, the seed's been planted and begins to take root, and you start seeing fruit that comes in their lives, and it becomes a change that's taking place. And even though Buddhism is the culture and the religion, the real religion in Thailand is more spiritism. There's a fear of spirits, and If you've ever been to Thailand or even a lot of the Thai restaurants, you'll see it's a spirit house. And sometimes they're out front of the building or out in front of the house. In Thailand, every house, every building has a spirit house. And it kind of sits out by the street. And the idea is that every morning they would go out and they'll put some food, something to drink, and maybe light a candle or incense or something. And they're trying to either entice a spirit to come and inhabit, live there and protect them, or they're trying to please the spirit that's living there so that they will have protection from evil spirits. And so that's kind of that weight of that if they don't do that, then something bad's going to happen that day. They're going to get in an accident. They're not going to have a customer come in their shop. They're going to have, you know, something other is going to bad's going to happen. And so they're constantly in that pressure and to do those things. And it's so awesome that we can introduce them to God, the Holy Spirit, who is stronger than any spirit that they think that they can have to be afraid of. And it's interesting because we led a lady to the Lord, and her way of witnessing is always to go right out and say, look, you got to know a spirit that's stronger than all these other spirits. You know, and I don't know if I'd always start the gospel that way, but she does. And she's like goes straight on to, hey, the Holy Spirit's stronger. You got to know him. You need to listen to this missionary. You need to hear. And it's really cool to see how people are responding to the gospel in Thailand. And it can take some time. And as we have learned the Thai language, and now we're able to teach and disciple and go soul winning in the Thai language. I still will use a translator from time to time when I'm preaching, especially if I'm trying to get into a little more in depth and want to explain it clearer. I probably in Thai sound like maybe a 6 or 7 year old. I don't know, but I've been studying for 6 years now, so I guess that's about right. But it's a tonal language. And are there any Thai speakers here tonight? So I'll give you a little bit of an example in John. I'll say John 3:16 in Thai, and just kind of give you an example of what Thai sounds like. So Yon Botisam Kosiphok Pratwa Prachao Song Rak Lo Jong Dai Song Pratan Prabut Ong Dio Kong Pra Ong Ti Ban Git Ma Pua Pudai Chia Nai Prabut Nan Ja Mai Pinat De Michiwit Niran. So there you go, John 3:16, that God loves the world. And that if we believe in him, that we'll have everlasting life. And so that's really the message. And being able to share it in Thai and be able to use those that language to disciple people and help people along. And in our church, we have, so we're starting, we're planting the Sila Baptist Church. It translates Cornerstone Baptist Church. And it's in Lamphun, Thailand. It's up in the north. And so we have been there helping and we're running. It's awesome to see because we're really expanding our space, and our space is kind of coming to the max. And we have about 60 to 70 people every day. We come high days about 90, 95. And so we're excited about what God's doing there. But we are praying that we can now expand to a new location and give us more room to grow. And so if you would pray for that with us, that God would just guide us and help us make the right choice for the future of the church as we are praying that eventually a Thai national will take that church and we can go to another location. That's our goal, is to plant a local church in a city as we are helping Thai nationals plant churches throughout Thailand. And so as we are planting Sila Baptist Church there, we are going to send out the Shamu family. And you saw them at the end of the video there. And Luca has been trained and he's been discipled. And now he's ready to go to the city of Prat. And he will begin a church there hopefully next year. And they're trying to raise a little bit of support themselves. And so that they can, we will support them and they can raise some support from the States. And so we're excited about what God's going to do in that church plant there. And so if you would pray for that. And then our reason for coming back, not only was a furlough, not only to report, but we needed to change our visa in Thailand. And so last 6 years we've been there, we've been on a volunteer visa, which is with a foundation. And in Thailand, they don't recognize a church as an entity. You have to have a foundation. And so the foundation you can get visas through, but you're also limited to where that region or province of where the foundation is at. And so we are now applied to the Thai government to receive a religious visa, and that way we can be there teaching religion. It's a missionary visa, and we can travel throughout the country and have really the freedom of what we're trying to do there in Thailand. And so, but we just found out about a week ago that that's been approved, so praise the Lord for that. And so that was one of our big prayer requests. We came back for that specific purpose. And so we're excited now to get back on May 14th, to be back up there in Thailand and to continue the ministry there as we are just seeing what God is doing there. And I wanted to give a chance to, if anybody had any questions, I know the guys have prepared a couple microphones and they're going to get those. But if you have a question that you'd like to ask about our ministry, my family, my wife, Becca, and our children, Ethan is 9 now. So we were here in the spring of 2016 on deputation. We went to Thailand at the end of January 2017. And so your church has been partnering with us. At that time, we only had 2 children. We now have 4. And so Ethan is 9. Selah will be 8 here in a couple weeks. And then Ryder is 6, and Asher is 3. And so they're with, we call them Papa and Lola. That's my wife's parents. And so they're with their Papa and Lola having fun in Tennessee. And I guess it snowed there the other night, so they're experiencing snow for the first time. Well, a couple of them are. And my 3-year-old thought it was so exciting when he first saw it. He's like, he's going to go play in it. And as soon as he touched it and realized, this is ice. This is not fun. And so, they're excited to be able to spend time. So if anybody has a question, if you want to raise your hand, and I know the guys will bring a microphone to you. I'd love to give you a little bit of a answer your questions about Thailand, our ministry. Yes, sir. Microphone coming right now.
2 questions. One is, how long did it take you to get your visa renewed? And the second question is, I assume your kids are learning the language fluently, you know, since they're so young?
Yes. So for our visa, we have every year we have to renew it. And so we only get a year visa. Our last visa would expire in May. We would begin the process in January. And so then I would have to start submitting the paperwork, getting a work permit set. And so from about January to May until they actually stamp your passport, you're kind of like, I don't know what's going to happen here. And honestly, you know, that's one of the things that if you think about for missionaries that are required to have a visa when they go into a country, that's a very stressful and difficult process. It's like nobody really cares about hearing about a visa you write in a prayer letter, you know, but that is a very stressful thing for missionaries because you have to go and stand in the line at the immigration and you're there and you've already prepared for a week of getting everything and then you're missing one paper. And then they tell you, so then you got to go find that paper, get that stamp and come back in the line. And so it just takes days and days and stressful and it can be very, very frustrating. You know, I always tell if I, a missionary, you know, it can leave the field quicker over the whole visa thing than anything else. It just can be very frustrating, but we're praise the Lord. It's every year, but, now with this visa, it'll be the same. It'll be a yearly thing that we have to submit and then get approved. But I feel like this will be a lot easier, process. Hopefully this will be a lot easier than what we're looking for. And it's time consuming, it's cost consuming as well. And so, but it's something you have to go through. Our kids learning the language. So when we first got there, our kids were like, I don't know. They would say I'm English. You know, I speak English. I eat English food. But now they're really wanting to learn Thai and have meet their friends at church and be able to speak with them and have fun and play. So they're learning it slowly. We had a tutor come and teach them. We homeschool them, and so but they are able to speak with their friends and stuff like that. We thought that they would learn it more naturally just being around Thai people in our church and stuff. It's not really the case in the Thai language. We've thought that. We saw other missionaries try that, and their kids are teenagers, and they still don't speak it. And so you have to really take an effort into helping them learn and study and practice. It's not going to come natural, even though they're kids and growing up in that country. It's just probably because we don't speak it in the home, you know, and so it's not something that we use all the time. And even at church throughout the week, they still it have to really practice it and put an effort into it. So, but they are, and we're excited about their desire to learn that as well. Any other questions? Yep. Nope, sorry.
Typically, Buddhist spiritists, they understand nothing about the love of the Creator God. It's, mm-hmm. it's a blank check in their cultural experience that there is a loving God, just a God who blesses or curses out there. And I'm curious, what's been the response of the community of your disciples to the notion of God's love?
Okay, that's a very good question, because not only is it in Spiritism, but in Buddhism, there's almost like a, you talk against love. You're not supposed to love things of the world. You're not supposed to love people, love anything, because that only brings pain and sorrow and suffering. If you're ever going to find nirvana, that inner peace, you have to disconnect from everything. And so even talking with Buddhists about love, they're like, I don't know what that, you know, like, it's not something that's be natural to speak about God and love and stuff like that. So when we begin with the love of God, or we're talking about for God so loved the world, we really have to teach on who God is. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth, and kind of build a foundation to then come to see how did God show us his love? What did he do? And then we show how God protected his people in the Old Testament, and then how he said there was a Messiah that was going to come, and that Messiah who became God in the flesh, came and died. I mean, you have to just really build. You can't go to Romans and go to the Romans road. You have to build a foundation and kind of bring them there. But I, even though that's kind of a foreign concept, I still go that route a lot with the love of God, and that's so important. And even though it's foreign maybe to the time mindset, and especially in Buddhism or Spiritism, is something that we try to build in. And now, you know, even with our Thai friend in church, who's really winning her friends, and it's exciting to see how she starts with the Holy Spirit. That's the power. You know, you got to go straight to the power and what's stronger. You know, and even in Thailand, there's a with the Spiritism, especially in some of the hill tribe villages we've done ministry in, there's still a lot of witchcraft and witch doctors there. They'll have times where we're inside preaching in a hill tribe village, and they're out doing their chanting, and you know, someone got sick, and they're calling the witch doctor to come and do the ceremony over them, and there's still that. Every village, a lot of neighborhoods has the local witch doctor. They call it a Mol P, which is like a doctor of spirits, and so it's always there. It's very prevalent throughout Thailand. So, but yes.
So Thailand is the old Siam?
Correct. So you had two kingdoms at a time. You had southern part would be Siam. The northern part would actually be Lanna. And so the kingdom of Siam, which would be in the Bangkok area all the way to the south, there was a time where they, I don't know how many years ago, many years ago, they actually, the kingdom of Siam took over the kingdom of Lanna. And so they became one, which is Thailand. And now the Thai means free. So it's like a free land is how it kind of translates.
So they have a monarchy. I was wondering what the attitude of the monarchy is. I've heard about unrest somehow, mm-hmm. or a discontent with some of their decisions lately. But
yeah, so when you come into like the politics in Thailand, probably before we got there, maybe this is probably so six, maybe about 8 years ago, there was a coup and the old prime minister was out. The military leader took control. And they still have a king. Still, the king who was on the throne for over 70 years passed away a few years ago, and his son is now the king. He's in his 60s, and so he's the current king. The king is more of a political figurehead. The king is very loved and respected. The king family, like, you're not allowed to say anything negative about the king. There's a law that you, even if you write anything or post anything or say anything, you can be arrested and sent to jail, or, you know, if you're a foreigner, they'll kick you out. And even a foreigner can be put in jail for that. And so there's definitely, we just don't even, you know, talk about it. It's not a subject we even discuss with Thai people. And but the Thai people, because of that, this military leader took control. They had an election a few years back, and he pretty much elected himself to be the new prime minister. And so even though he was the military general that took leadership, he's now the prime minister. And so he kind of runs everything. And so that was really what the Thai people were disgruntled about, because there was another person they wanted to elect, but they charged that guy with something and they got rid of him. And so the only person left was the general. And so corruption is rampant, and just like a lot, there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of things and problems to deal with in Thailand. There's a lot of cultural hierarchies and trying to overcome those. You've got Northern Thai people that think that, you know, they are kind of the higher in society, a little higher position. We've got the immigrants from Myanmar that we're reaching into, and they speak Thai Yai is what they're classified as, and they are a lot of construction workers and road workers, and we have some of those that Thai Yai people that we've reached in our church. And so we've got Thai Yai, we've got Northern Thai, we have some families from Laos. We've got families, other in Burma and Myanmar. There's lots of different groups. There's the Karen, there's different parts of the Shan people, and there's a lot of different groups up there that we're trying to reach into, and it's hard because they view themselves lower and they're not comfortable in a Thai church, and we're trying to see how we can overcome those hurdles of our people accepting them and these people feeling accepted and belonging, but also trying to have the opportunity to share the gospel with them and where they are to help them along and disciple them. And so, it's a lot of hurdles in Thailand, but just like in America, we still have trust in God to open those doors and help us with sharing the gospel in those areas as well. Yes, sir.
Two things. How's that cost of living doing? It costs you much for a gallon of fuel. And another thing, have you crossed any paths with any Gideons?
Okay. So cost of living, there are some increases there. If you see in Thailand, we have anything that's imported, you'll see about a 20% increase in prices than what you would pay here. So vehicles, electronics, you'll pay a higher price in Thailand. Food is going up because the cost of food is going up everywhere, but it's still, you know, fairly reasonable. We pay about $4.50 a gallon for gas, and so gas can be expensive there. And so vehicles, gas, but the one thing that cost of living does help in Thailand is rent is cheap. Power bill, the electricity is very inexpensive. Water, I mean, you know, it kind of balances itself out that way. Cost of living is going up a little bit. But we're thankful that it's not, I don't think it's at the level here. When we came back here and saw some of the increases, traveling across the country, it's quite a bit. Maybe it just hasn't reached Thailand yet. Thankful that, we have, you know, good support from our churches here and able to do ministry there in Thailand. Gideon, sorry. I've never met any Gideons. I've never met any there. I'm sure they probably are. There are a lot of, in Chiang Mai is the largest city in the north, and there are a lot of ministries that are kind of make that their headquarters. So you'll have ministries that throughout Asia. And so a lot of missionaries had to leave China on the last couple of years during COVID. And I think it was kind of beginning even before that. In Myanmar, there were some missionaries that had to flee. We had some people in our neighborhood who their house got burned down. I mean, people were being killed out in front of their house. So they had to get their family out. And so there's a lot of unrest in certain areas there in Southeast Asia. Thailand is not experiencing any of that. So a lot of people will come down to Thailand and have ministries there. And so I'm sure the Gideons probably have a presence there. I've never met any personally, but I'm sure there's a lot of different ministries there. I do. Okay. Awesome. Good deal. Any other questions? All right. Like I said, it's so great to be here with you. And I just wanted to bring a message that God laid on my heart. Whenever I go places and we travel, obviously we have lots of needs that we'd like to present. And, you know, obviously, support and being able to raise the funds to live in Thailand and minister in Thailand. But really the thing that we always want to make sure that when we go back is that churches know what to pray about and how to pray for us. And a lot of times people ask, well, what can I pray for? How can I pray for you? And so tonight I just want to bring a message about prayer and how we can very practically, some things that we can learn from God's word about specific areas that we can pray for our missionaries and pray for our family or pray for the many missionaries that you do support and just kind of have a little bit of an idea of something that we can learn about prayer. In John 17, we learn and see about the prayer that Jesus made. You know, I've many times when it comes to prayer, I've thought about this a lot, that why is it important for us to pray? You know, I mean, God knows what we need. God's word says that he knows before we even ask that we need it. And if God knows what I'm going to pray for and God knows what I need, why do I need to ask? Have you ever thought that? Am I the only one that kind of wonders that? Why do I have to pray? Like, I don't understand. Like God knows, and he's going to answer. But it's important for us to pray. Paul saw the importance of prayer. Many times throughout Paul's letters and journeys, he would ask and plead for people to pray for him. A couple verses that you can even write down where Paul asked for is in Romans 15. And he said, I beseech you that you would pray, that you would strive with us in prayer. You know, Paul knew and understood the necessity that we had people, that he had people that were praying with him. And it was in something that he was urging people to do. That they would not only, that they would just do it lightly, but that they would strive together, that it was going to be work, that we could pray alongside of the work that Paul was doing. And that's what he was writing back, that people would pray for him. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, he said that we would be helping together with him in our prayers. That we would kind of come alongside and work with him. That he would say, like, look, if you pray for me, if Paul was writing to these believers and these Christians, if you would pray, you are working with me in this particular outreach or church plant or whatever Paul was doing where God was leading Paul to go and preach. And he was beseeching people to pray for him. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he just said, pray for us. You know, and over and over we can read about Paul, the Apostle Paul, who would arguably be the person that God used the most. I mean, all the things that the Apostle Paul was able to accomplish that he knew and understood that he was not going to be doing anything without people praying for him, without believers praying for him and praying for his ministry. And so if Paul thought it was important, I believe it's important, and that we should all realize how important it is that we can pray. And as we look at this prayer that Jesus made, that he prayed, and to think about the way Jesus prayed and what he prayed for, I feel we can learn some very important lessons about prayer from this passage in John chapter 17. And so let's pray real quick. And as we, before we begin to read in John chapter 17, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this church and for their heart for missions and reaching people with the gospel. Lord, help us now as we look into your word in John chapter 16. Help guide us. Help us to understand what we can learn from your word tonight. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so as we begin to look at Jesus's prayer in John chapter 17, I want you to see here, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 15. 17, verse 15. And then we'll kind of dive in and back up a little bit into this verse. But John chapter 17, verse number 15, it says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, and they that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And so here, in the prayer that Jesus is praying, notice that he's praying for us. In verse number 20, it says, neither pray I for these alone. Obviously, he's speaking with the disciples, and he's talking, he's with the disciples, and he's praying to God the Father, and he's praying for his disciples. But then he goes on in verse number 20 and says, neither I pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And so as the disciples would go out, and as they began to teach and to preach, and people began to believe and trust, and as it goes on throughout history, we are products of the ministry of that Jesus started with his disciples, and we are being prayed for right here in this passage. It's awesome to know and to receive the notes from your church and from many people that, hey, they pray for us. That's awesome. I love to hear when people say, hey, I pray for you. I know my mom prays for me and our ministry, and you know, and it's awesome to know that people are praying for us. I'll tell you what, it's really good to know that Jesus prayed for us. That Jesus prayed for me, that Jesus is praying for you, that his prayer for you. And as we think about this, that Jesus prayed for us, and what specifically did he pray for? What was he praying for? I love the fact that in verse number 1 of 17, it says that when Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven, as Jesus began praying, his focus was up to heaven, to the Father. He wasn't focusing on everything that's going on around him, but he was focusing up. His focus in prayer was to the Father. One of the things about prayer, and you may have heard this, you know, we can live our life going through every day, looking behind us, looking in the rearview mirror, looking at all of our past mistakes, all of our failures, all the opportunities we may have missed, and we can focus on those. Or you can live your life, you can look from side to side, see what's going on around you, your circumstances, your present circumstances, the struggles that you might have, the things, the problems that are around you, and you can focus on those. Or you can focus in front of you about the things that are coming your way, the stress, the other things that you've got to accomplish, things you're trying to get done, and you can allow those things to take your focus. But you know what prayer does? It focuses you up to heaven. It makes you look at God. It refocuses what you're, knowing that you as a child of God have access to the Father that can speak to God, and he is in control. Don't worry about what's behind you. That's gone. The things around you, hey, God's in control. And the things in front of you, he's going to be there and give you the grace to help you through those times as well. And so our focus when we pray focuses up to heaven, focuses us up to the Father. To think that we have such a privilege to enter into his presence through prayer, that we can come and have that relationship with him, that we can come and communicate and speak with our Father in heaven. And that's what Jesus began to show us, is that our focus needs to be up on heaven, that our Father in heaven, and that's who we speak with, and that's who we talk with, and that's who we go and pray to. You know, and it's amazing to think that we have that privilege. And that's one of the things in Thailand that people is so far from them. And sometimes because you have the monks that are supposed to be the ones that are the holy people that can show you the way to peace and way to happiness and joy and have that nirvana feeling, right? And they will go to them, or they have to go to the witch doctor down the road to seek help, you know? And even as a person will begin coming to church and we are sharing the gospel with them, and even some that we believe have trusted Christ, they still have that hold on to them where they don't know that they can actually go to God. And they'll think, well, Pastor, can you pray for me? You need to pray for this. And one of the things I always thought, like, no, you can pray. You can go to God. You have that privilege. Man, how many times do we not take advantage of that privilege? Do we neglect our prayer life? You know, one of the things that every year I try to set different goals, and one of the goals this year was to really develop a better prayer life and really trying to spend time in God's Word, looking through the different prayers that people made, looking through and studying the different prayers and what they prayed for and how they prayed and the confidence and faith that they used. And as we look into this prayer that Jesus made, it's so exciting to know that we also can lift our eyes up to heaven and pray to God. And so as we look and see some of the things that Jesus prayed for specifically, and something that we can pull out from this passage that we can also apply and use to pray for our missionaries and pray for one another. But you see here that Jesus prayed for their protection. That was one of the big things that Jesus prayed for. It's a verse that we read there in verse number 15. He said that, "I pray not for thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." You know, one of the big things that you would want to pray for in missionaries is their protection. There's a lot of things that you can face on the mission field. And obviously, when we are in ministry, the devil wants to always target the preachers and always target those that are trying to live as disciples and followers of Jesus. But there's some times that you'll see some interesting things on the mission field. Some things, like I said, where the witch doctor will be outside the church and doing their chanting, and the different things that you know that Satan wants to keep in people in darkness, and wants to maintain control over these villages and maintain control over those regions in Thailand, and he doesn't want people to come in with the gospel. and there will be hindrances and protection. And you know, in Thailand, there's lots of things that are not always easy for foreigners to travel around, and especially when you're going out to some of the villages and pray for their protection. Protection on the roads in Thailand. And the roads in Thailand are some of the, you read some of the statistics about the accidents in Thailand. My first year there, I was in a motorcycle accident. I mean, as a foreigner driving a motorcycle in Thailand, there's an 80% chance you're getting in an accident. It's amazing. And you're on the other side of the road, you're driving on the other side in the car, and all those things can throw you off sometimes. And coming back here to the States, I always found myself driving on the wrong side of the road a couple times. You know, you just got to make sure, I got to be in the middle. It's interesting. It's always a challenge sometimes when we're traveling around on the mission field. And pray for your missionaries and their protection, on how that God will protect them as they are ministering in those other countries. And as Jesus here was praying for his disciples that they would be protected. And the amazing thing, like Jesus said, I don't want them taken out of the world. No, they're in the world, but protect them, keep them safe, as they are serving and protecting. Jesus knew the hard times that they were going to face. You know, if we wanted relaxing and easy times, obviously we would not try to go out in ministry. We would not try to go out to another country. And we're not afraid of hardness. We're not afraid of those challenges. But, you know, it's always comforting to know that I can think of a church in Land O'Lakes, Florida, that there's members praying for us, that when we go out and we go out to witness in a community, or we're having a big day at our church, that people have prayed for our ministry. And I'll tell you, that's a blessing to know that there are people that you're entering into the ministry there and praying. And that's really what it comes down to, because Paul said many places that you are striving with him, you're helping him, you're working along. And one of the reasons that we pray, not only it focuses up on the Lord, but it also we enter into the ministry along with the Lord. I'll tell you, one of the things that I've learned in the 6 years is that there is no way, in and of myself, I'm going to, in my limited Thai, speaking like a five-year-old, that I'm going to help somebody understand the mysteries of the gospel. It's impossible. I'm not going to be able to. I mean, I can try to explain and maybe get the words right, but I know that it's going to have to be the Holy Spirit that's working in their heart, that's changing them. He's going to have to bring the open their eyes. But we are allowed, God has invited us to enter into that ministry with him. We are laborers together with the Lord, to know that we now are entering into his work. And as you go out here in your community and share Christ, you can't do it by yourself. It's impossible. You have the privilege, though, to enter into that work with the Lord. And we are trusting and relying upon him. Same in prayer. You'll never come to Thailand. You're invited. You can always come. If you want to come to Thailand, you can come. But if you don't, if you're not able to, you can still come to our ministry through prayer. You can still be a part of our ministry. You can still be a part of the work there in your prayers. And you're helping along with us, working with us, striving together with us in your prayers. So pray for protection. But you also see that Jesus prayed for their sanctification. He said that in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You know, that it was important. And then in verse 19, and for their sakes, and Jesus said he sanctified himself, that they could be sanctified through the truth. And so Jesus was praying for their sanctification. If we understand that if God is going to use us, we have to be a clean vessel to be used. God's not going to use us if we're full of sin. God's not going to use us if we're allowing the things of the world to pull us away. You know, as the battle that each and every one of us face, the battle that you face, the battle that we face, is always with the devil, the world, and the flesh. I mean, that's our enemy. And those are the things that we have to face every day that we are going up against. And we need to pray for the missionary's sanctification. Pray that they would be pure. Pray that they would be ready and be used by God. And that's a prayer that you can pray for your missionaries, that God would keep them pure. You know, there's a lot of sin is everywhere. And people are everywhere. We're all sinners. Sin is all over this world. This is the fallen world. But even in Thailand, there's many, many things that are constantly being pulled on missionaries' families, on their kids, on their wives, on the husbands, and they need to pray that God not only protect them but sanctify them. And in Thailand, it's pretty much common, especially older men, maybe in their 30s, midlife, they all have a mistress. They all have their second wife. They actually even have a word for in Thai that it's the small wife, the lesser wife. It's not the head wife, but there's an other wife. And that's a problem. And those are struggles. And some people come up and say, hey, do you have your mistress yet? Do you have one yet? And it's like, oh, do you need one? No, you know. And not only is that the people that we're trying to build relationships with, the guys, the men there that we are trying to have opportunities to share the gospel with, their evenings are spent after work going to the bar down the road and drinking. And so there's always that temptation, that struggle that they're fighting with, that we're missionaries are trying to go into to help and share the love of Christ with these Thai men and families, the broken homes that are there, and the homes that God can only repair, and the relationships there. And so pray for your missionaries' protection. Pray for their sanctification. These are the prayers that Jesus is praying for his disciples. These are the things that Jesus is showing us an example of prayer that we can learn, that we can also pray for one another. And so we see here for protection, we see for sanctification, but then we see that their goal was to share the love of God. That was their mission. Pray for the mission. Our goal is to share God's love, the gospel message. Jesus said that they all may be one, as thou, the Father, art in me, in verse number 21, and I in thee, that I also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou hast gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, and I in them, that they may be perfect one another. And in the verse it says that thou hast loved them and hast loved me. I have that sent me and shown the love. And so the message that the disciples were challenged with was to go and share the fact that Christ came. And because of that love of the Father, that he was sent, he died on a cross, he was buried in that tomb, he rose again, the gospel message, that we have a mission to get the message out. You pray for their protection, you pray for their sanctification, you pray for the mission. Paul many times said, hey, pray that my work will be accomplished. I'm traveling to here. God has laid this on place on my heart. I need to go here. Pray that I will accomplish that. Pray for the mission of the missionaries. Pray for the gospel message that they are going out. That Paul would say that my gospel would not be hid, that I would have a clear place to utter the words clearly. I'll tell you what. If you ever think about praying for your missionaries, pray that they can speak clearly the language that they're trying to speak. I mean, there's some times that, you know, trying to stutter through and trying to get up and forgetting the words, and Thai is a tonal language. I can very easily ask someone to come to Jesus or tell them that there's a dog that's coming to Jesus or something like that, because the word for come and the word for dog are very, very close. And it's interesting that you have to be careful how you're saying it, but just pray that God would help the missionaries, they speak clearly the message of the gospel and the mission to show people the love of Christ, to share it with them, that they can also understand, they can turn away from the religion that has given them no hope, no joy, no peace, to know the God who is the creator of heaven, who loved them, died for them, who will give them joy, give them peace, and give them a home in heaven. That's the message that we have. You are challenged here as well to go out of these doors in this community and share the gospel with the people around, to realize that you have a challenge just as much as we do, a commission that Jesus told you to go as we go, and that we are challenged with this, but that we know that it's entering into God's work, into his labor, that we are working together with him, that we're not doing this alone. I could not do it alone. I could not accomplish this work alone. One thing I do know that I in myself am nothing. I have not the ability to go to another country and share the gospel and to see people saved. But God has allowed us to enter into his work. And you, as you are partnering with the many missionaries that you have around this world, you are entering into their work. You are helping them. You are entering into the work where the field that they are in to share the gospel. And so how can we pray specifically for our missionaries? How can we pray? And we can learn from what Jesus said here in his prayer in John chapter 17, that pray for their protection, pray for their sanctification, and pray for the mission that they have to share the gospel. Sound good? Amen. The message for that the Lord has given us tonight in John chapter 17. So thank you so much once again for your love and your just prayers for our family. and all that you do to encourage us and help us along. So let's pray, and after I pray, I'll turn back over to Pastor. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the example that you gave us in this passage on how we can pray, how you prayed for your disciples, and how you prayed for those that would believe because of the message that the disciples had and shared. Help us, Lord, know that this is a work beyond what we can ever accomplish in ourselves. The ministry that you have given to us is something that we must only do through the power of your Spirit. Lord, help us and empower us, empower this church and each and every member here in Lando Lakes. Help them to go into their community and to spread the gospel. I pray for the many missionaries that they support, and thank you for allowing me to be a partner with them. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this church in an amazing way, that they would be able to be a blessing to many people and be a part of a work that of people in Thailand that they may never meet, but one day in heaven, Lord, they'll be able to see those people that they impacted through their prayers, through their support. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have a small part in your work in sharing the gospel and for your kingdom, Lord. Thank you for all that you do and all that you're going to do. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.